This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
We love the deeds that will cause you to love me too. Oh Lord, there is nothing that can compare to the wonder and the joy you bring. Oh, you confess every your day and give your money away, but if you don't love for Allah's sake, no.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, amma ba'd. Welcome back to another episode of The Strangers. We move on in this episode to another very, very important piece of advice. And that is the importance of resorting to worship, to al-ibadah, in these times of strangeness. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for no other purpose than to worship Him. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah says that I have not created the jinn, the spirits, nor mankind for any purpose, any reason except to worship me. Except to worship me. However, the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-encompassing. It's not like how some people think that it means 24 hours of the day, 7 days of the week, you're in the masjid, you're praying, or you're fasting, or you're doing another one of the well-known acts of worship. There's a difference between these particular acts of worship and the meaning of this verse, which is more general. And so, the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means anything, any statement, any action which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, done for the sake of Allah, whether it be inner or outward, regardless of what kind of act it is. If it is for the pleasure of Allah, it is an act of worship. And so, all of our daily lives, everything we do in our daily activity, they are acts of worship, as long as we're doing them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so to worship Allah, as understood from this verse, means to make your entire life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To get up in the morning with the intention that you're doing it for the sake of Allah. To sleep at night with the intention that you're doing it for the sake of Allah. To go out to work with the intention that you're doing it for the sake of Allah. To feed your family with the intention that you're doing it for the sake of Allah, and so on and so forth. All of these day-to-day activities turn into acts of worship when you have the right intention. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for this purpose, to worship Him alone. Not because He is in need of our worship, no. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the self-sufficient, al-ghani. He's not in need of His creation. He created us to worship Him alone, but not because He's in need of our worship. No, He is self-sufficient. Even if He did not create a single one of us, He would be perfect as He is subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the reality is that it is we human beings who are in need of the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not the opposite. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to worship Him. And He has given us certain acts of worship which are known, such as praying, fasting, and so on. If we were to do these, the benefit comes back to us. It doesn't go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does not benefit from our worship in any way whatsoever. Rather, the benefit is for our own good. Why? Because Allah is our creator. He created us, and He knows best what is better for His creation. Just like someone who creates something, he manufactures something, he knows what's good for that product that he created and manufactured more than anyone else. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that these acts of worship that He has given to us to perform that they are in our own best interest. And so we come to the point of resorting to worship, the worship of Allah, in times of fitan, in the world in which we're living in today, where there is much corruption, there is the strangeness of Islam, and both the fitan of shubuhat, of doubts, and the fitan of ash-shahawat, of lustful desires, are widespread. And people have been afflicted with both of these fitan. In such times, there is no better solution, and nothing better for the slave of Allah, the righteous servant of Allah, and the stranger. There is nothing better for him to do than to resort to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why one of the great scholars of Islam, Imam al-Qurtubi, he said in this regard, he said that fitan and great difficulty will take place until the religion will become insignificant and no one will give it any consideration. And this is what we see today, that there are so many fitan that people have been distracted by, that they don't care about religion anymore. Religion doesn't matter for them. It is insignificant for them. And this, I'm talking about the Muslims themselves. They have taken the religion as a custom, as a tradition, not as a way of life. He goes on to say, so no one will give any consideration to anything except to worldly matters, to matters of the dunya, matters that concern them in their day-to-day lives. And then he says, and due to this fact, worship, al-ibadah, becomes something extremely special and valuable in days of fitan. And so in such days of fitan, al-ibadah, the worship of Allah, becomes something really, really precious and something very, very significant and important. Why? Because such an individual who resorts to the worship of Allah, he is taking himself away from what has distracted everyone else. They have resorted to those fitan. They have involved themselves in those fitan. Why? Because they became heedless. They became negligent. They became distracted by the dunya. And as a result, they forgot about their purpose in this life, to worship Allah. And they forgot about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about their duty to Allah, and about the akhirah, and what comes after this dunya. And so this stranger, this individual who resorts to the worship of Allah, he is showing us that he wants to be different than these heedless and negligent beings. And so he resorts to the worship of Allah in times when there are so many distractions. And so this is something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam alluded to when he said, al-ibadah fil haraj kal-hijra ilay. The ibadah, worship, in days of chaos and haraj, as he explained it, it is like migrating to me. Meaning, migrating from Mecca to Medina, or from anywhere else to Medina, at a time when hijrah, migration, was compulsory. And we know of the great reward for those who made hijrah in those days. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that there's no comparison between those who accepted Islam in Mecca and then made hijrah with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam compared to those who accepted Islam in Medina and did not go through the difficulties of Mecca, the strangeness of Mecca. And so Allah says, لا يستوي منكم من أنفق من قبل الفتح وقاتل أولئك أعظم درجة من الذين أنفقوا من بعد وقاتلوا. Allah says, regarding those who accepted Islam after the conquest of Mecca, he says they are not equal. Those who gave in charity before the conquest of Mecca and those who fought before compared to those who came afterwards. And Allah said that those who came before and fought with their wealth and their lives, they are greater in status with Allah. And then Allah said, وَكُلَّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. However, Allah has promised both parties a great reward. And in the other verse, Allah says, فَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا وَأُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَأُوذُوا فِي سَبِيلِي وَقَاتَلُوا وَقُتِلُوا لَأُكَفِّرَنَّ عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ وَلَأُدْخِلَنَّهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ ثَوَابًا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ حُسْنُ الثَّوَابِ. And so Allah says, as for those who migrated and were driven out of their homes, meaning the Muhajirun of Mecca, and they were harmed because of me in my path, and they fought and they were killed, لَأُكَفِّرَنَّ عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ. The first reward is I will erase all of their sins, compensate them for their sins. The second reward, وَلَأُدْخِلَنَّهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. I will give them jannat, not one paradise, but gardens that they will enter, they will be admitted to, under which there are rivers flowing, ثَوَابًا مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ, a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ حُسْنُ الثَّوَابِ. We'll take a short break and be right back. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد الله
By selling gowns at 13, his blindness did not stop his unquenchable thirst for knowledge. Propagated virtues, prevented vice with decisions unchallenged. He is Sheikh Abdul Aziz bin Abdullah bin Baz, former Grand Mufti of Saudi.
Where truth is hidden, misleading quotations create confusion. Where truth is hidden, lack of knowledge and wisdom cause upheaval and commotion. Where truth is hidden, manipulated scriptures and twisted facts emerge. This very hidden truth creates false propaganda, mayhem, chaos, disorder, and turmoil in our lives and the world order. But is there anyone with courage and wisdom? What is the truth? And who has the courage to expose it? Because it's your right to know the truth.
Watch Truth Prevail and Lies Perish in Truth Exposed by Dr. Zakir Naik, next on Peace TV.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. Before the break, we were speaking about how worship in times of chaos, in times of fitan, is something very precious and valuable. And that's because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that al-ibadah, worship, during times of haraj, is like migrating to me, meaning migrating to Medina in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we mentioned that the reward of those who migrated compared to those who did not is far greater. Although both parties, the Muhajirun and the Ansar, they have their reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has mentioned in the Quran. But the point is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam here mentioned a great reward, and that is migrating to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That the one who worships Allah in difficult times, in times of haraj, as he said, is like the one who gets a reward of migrating to me in Medina. And so the meaning of haraj here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that ibadah in haraj is like migrating to me. Haraj basically refers to times of fitan, great tribulations, when there's a lot of killing, when there's a lot of chaos, and so on and so forth. And so the times that we live in today are very, very similar to that. And so wherever you go, people are getting killed. There are wars in so many different countries. And there are so many fitan of shubuhat and fitan of ashahawat. We see that the reward is great. For those who resort to the worship of Allah, they perform acts of worship, they do good deeds for the sake of Allah in difficult times, when it's extremely difficult to do those deeds, such as in today's world, in these times of strangeness. And so there is no better piece of advice that I could give to every Muslim stranger out there today than for him to resort to the worship of Allah. And there are so many different acts of worship that we should be concerned about and we should resort to, that will help us to remain steadfast in these difficult times. The greatest of those acts is as-salah. To establish our salawat, to have concern for our prayers, and especially the five obligatory salawat. If we preserve these, and then after that, pray extra, then there's no doubt that this will be one of the greatest means in helping us to remain steadfast in these difficult and turbulent times. And we see that this was the case in our role model, our uswa, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so whenever a difficult time would come, whenever he would be in stress, what would he do? He wouldn't complain. He wouldn't do anything but resort to as-salah. And so he would go and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would find comfort and tranquility and peace in as-salah. But what kind of salah is that? It is the salah in which there is perfect khushu', tranquility, concentration, where a person stands humiliated before his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, understanding the greatness of Allah, not distracted by anything of the dunya. And so that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would find his heart at peace when he would resort to as-salah. And that's why he would say to Bilal radiallahu an, who was his muaddin, Ya Bilal, arihna bis-salah. O Bilal, come, bring us comfort, peace, tranquility through as-salah. Meaning, O Bilal, give the adhan, because this will cause us to pray to Allah, this will cause us to go to salah, which, what does it do? It brings tranquility and peace to our hearts. Not only that, but this salah is success in our lives, no matter which type of success it is. Hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah. And so in the adhan we hear every day, Allah calls us to salah, and He calls us to al-falah, success. And that success is success in this dunya with regards to all of our affairs, and the greatest success of all in the akhirah. Not only that, but as-salah, in difficult times, it saves us and protects us from all the dangers that are out there, from the fitan that are out there. Once again, the condition is that you pray the correct salah. The salah that is full of khushu', full of tranquility and humbleness and humility, and the salah that is according to how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed. Not only that, but this salah is a light for the stranger in this dunya that is full of darkness. And it is also a light for him after he has departed from this world and gone to his grave full of darkness. And finally, this salah is a rope between you and your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it is cut, if it is severed, and you are not praying, or you are not praying properly, then that link between you and Allah is no longer there. And so there are so many benefits of as-salah, especially in times of fitan and in strange times when Islam is looked at as being something strange. But besides salah, we have other acts of worship. There is fasting. And so there are many benefits of fasting, aside from fasting the month of Ramadan. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised the young ones, the youth, the teenagers. He said to them, try your best to get married young, while you have a lot of energy and you are attracted to the women. He said, however, if you're not able to, then there is a solution. If you're not able to, and that is the majority of young people, especially in our times, and they're being tested with the fitan, with the fitna of women, the fitan of ash-shahawat. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them a solution. If you cannot afford to get married at this time, then what did he say? He did not say to look for another solution, to go and look at women and then relieve yourself of your desires in whatever way you want. No, he said, then fast. He said, fast. And then he gave the reason for why you should fast. He said, because it protects your private parts from doing something haram and it causes you to lower your gains. And that is the reality. For anyone who has tried it, try it. Fast as much as you can on Mondays and Thursdays, 3 days of the month, as was the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Try to fast as much as you can, and you will find that if you do so, it will help you to be distracted from the fitan of ash-shahawat. Besides that, we have other acts of worship, such as the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so there are different kinds of dhikr, the remembrance of Allah. There is the remembrance of the heart, and then there is the remembrance of the tongue. And so in difficult times, in times of fitan, in times when Islam is looked at as being something strange, the stranger, he needs to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times, with his heart and his tongue. If he does so, he will remain steadfast upon the path. And so there are various kinds of adhkar that we could say with our tongues. There are the adhkar that we do on a daily basis. When we get up in the morning, there is something to say, a dhikr. When we perform wudu, there is a dhikr. After wudu, there is something to say. After we pray, there are adhkar. In the morning, there are certain adhkar to say to protect us. And in the evening, there are adhkar to protect us. All of these adhkar will protect us by the permission of Allah. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He commanded us not to become distracted by the dunya and by our women and our children. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُلْهِكُمْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. O you who believe, do not become distracted by your wealth and by your children, meaning the fitan of the dunya. Do not let that to distract you from the dhikr of Allah, from the remembrance of Allah. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Whoever does that, he is a loser. And in the hadith narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am with my servant as long as he remembers me and so long as his lips move out of my remembrance. And so Allah will be with you in difficult times. In times when Islam is looked at being something strange, Allah will be with you and protect you from slipping off the path as long as you remember him subhanahu wa ta'ala with your heart and your tongue. And in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am just like my slave thinks I am, and I am with him as long as he remembers me. If he remembers me within himself, then I remember him in me as well. And if he remembers me in a group of people, he reminds others of Allah. He causes others to remember Allah. Then I will remember him. I will mention him among a group that is better than him. And they are basically the malaika, the angels. And so we could see the importance of dhikr when it comes to Allah protecting the servant, protecting him from all types of dangers in life, from all types of fitan, whether they be the fitan of ash-shubuhat or the fitan of ash-shahawat. And finally, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the believers, when they face off against the enemy on the battlefield, even then, they should remember Allah. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا لَقِيتُمْ فِئَةً فَثْبُتُوا. O you who believe, when you face off against your enemy on the battlefield, remain firm, steadfast against them. And then what does Allah say? وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And remember Allah much in order for you to succeed. Even on the battlefield, in order to achieve success, remember Allah. Keep your hearts attached to Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you victory. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, in times of fitan, in times when Islam is looked at as being something strange, it is important for the Muslim stranger to resort to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look for that act of worship that suits you best, whether it be salah, whether it be fasting, whether it be dhikr, whether it be giving in charity, whatever it be, and stick to it and you will find the fruits of that bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. We conclude with that, and insha'Allah ta'ala, we will see you all in another episode of The Strangers. Until then, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
Oh Allah, I'm missing you.